Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. It's a pleasure to be here as always. Now, I don't know why I just closed that, but anyway, onwards and upwards with hour two of the program. I do apologize for the... I'm stuffing up today. I don't know what it is. I'm a little off my production game. I'm a little off my producing game, but we'll get there. We'll get there. So, Mr. Turnbull and Mr. Trump, if you haven't heard about the phone call from Netherlands about this refugee deal that has taken place. Now, the details on the deal first. Actually, no, we'll do one of our favourite things. Here is what we know. The phone call between Mr. Trump and Mr. Turnbull took place last Saturday, which I don't know why we didn't cover it up. We just had enough to cover on that show, obviously, last GLS, which was one of four calls that he had to make that day with world leaders, including Russia's Vladimir Putin. Excuse me, what the Washington Post quotes senior US officials briefed on the call as saying that the conversation should have lasted an hour but was abruptly ended after 25 minutes. Mr. Turnbull was seeking assurances from Mr. Trump that the deal between between former President Barack Obama and Mr. Turnbull would be still honored. The US president reportedly said that accepting the refugees would be like the US accepting, quote, the next Boston bombers, unquote, who were from the Caucasus region of Russia. The official call from the US was brief, but both leaders had, quote, emphasized the enduring strength and closeness of the US-Australia relationship. Here is what the deal was. The deal was the resettlement of 1,200 refugees from basically people that had been held here as refugees before entering our country are going to be resettled over into the US. So here are the world leaders' response to the videos. Then we're going to tear down this Why Australia Needs the US article, which I really do want to get into. Here is Mr. Trump basically not apologizing at all, quite frankly, and it's a Christmas miracle why he's not.
The world is in trouble, but we're going to straighten it out, okay? That's what I do. I fix things. We're going to straighten it out. Believe me, when you hear about the tough phone calls I'm having, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. They're tough. We have to be tough. It's time we're going to be a little tough, folks. We're taken advantage of by every nation in the world virtually. It's not going to happen anymore. It's not going to happen anymore.
That was Mr. Trump on the phone call between Australia and the US. Now for the other side of the coin, here is Mr. Turnbull on the same phone call.
As far as the call is concerned... I'm very disappointed that there has been a leak of purported details of the call in Washington. But I want to make one observation about it. The report that the president hung up is not correct. The call ended courteously. And as far as the nature of the discussion, it was very frank and forthright. I stand up for Australia's interests. I make Australia's case as powerfully and persuasively as I can.
That is Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull saying that the call ended courteously. Now, I understand this language, and I'm not going to beat around the bush here because, well, A, I'm not in the politics game, and B, well, not anymore, but B, I'm here. Now, as much as I joke about how this is news coverage like everyone else, I have my own opinion, and I lay out my opinions on the table for everyone to see. Now, here's the deal. Now, they could have disagreed about the details of the deal, but quite honestly, they needed to agree to disagree in some aspects. Now, they would have liked to agree and have this deal, but they could have. They're two world leaders. They're at the top. They're the leaders of their country. Can't they discuss things civilly without being, you know, having level heads about it? That's just my personal opinion. So here is this article that I really wanted to dig into. Now, what is this? There's a video that's got a subtitle as Trump reviews dumb refugee deal with Australia after worst call.
You brush your teeth twice a day, right? But 80% of bacteria aren't even on.
This again. Ah! Hey, at least I stopped it this time. Yay! Go me. Here we go. I need to get this audio back up. And it's
muted. Reporting the president had ripped into Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull on the phone at the weekend over a refugee swap deal, saying he described the call as the worst so far before cutting it short, though Turnbull's keeping tight-lipped over the apparent bitter exchange.
I've seen that report, and I'm not going to comment on the conversation other than to say that the president assured me that he would continue with honour the agreement we entered into with the Obama administration with respect to refugee resettlement.
But not according to the Post, reporting Trump had accused Australia of attempting to export the next Boston bombers, quoting him saying that taking in more than 1,000 asylum seekers from Australia's offshore detention centres was the worst deal ever. Trump asking on Twitter why the Obama administration first agreed to it, promising, quote, I will study this dumb deal. It comes less than 24 hours after Washington sent mixed messages across the Pacific, with Australian media reports suggesting the White House could still backtrack on the agreement.
To run a commentary on the domestic policies.
Oh, okay. That video got cut short. So that's more of a synopsis into the story. So this article comes from Deborah Keeler at news.com.au. So she writes, Australia might have won the PR battle in the international diplomacy, but the US would always have the upper hand when it comes to military might and protection. And experts argue that the reality is we need the US more than it really needs us. Quote, Australia has been on the side of the US in every major world war since World War II. Mr. Townsend, who is here somewhere. Who is Mr. Townshed? Yeah, anyway, someone said that to news.com.au. This batch shows that Donald Trump fails to understand alliance management 101 and needs to treat close allies with respect. There you go. The US labelled the US-Australia refugee dumb in a tweet posted, and we know that. Mr. Townsend did that. Okay, military strength. Finally, getting to the meat of the story, Dale Campbell. Here we go. There's no doubt the US military might and is a sustaining force in the Asia Pacific. Figures released by Global Firepower reveal that spending in 2015 was high for the US, $581 billion, followed by China at $155 billion, Saudi Arabia $56 billion, and the UK $55 billion. Russia followed, but Australia was ranked 13th with $26.1 billion. Mr. Townsend said the alliance was both important for both sides, especially in military terms, warning Australia would be in serious trouble if the US pulled its resources from the Australia the Asia-Pacific region. Quote, Australia benefits enormously from the US alliance, gaining access to US military technology, securing assistance and intelligence, he says. It also provides... It also benefits enormously from the extended nuclear deterrence that the US provides to Australia. An unwritten understanding that the US would defend Australia with nuclear weapons if required. Well, by the way, newsflash, get that in writing. I know I'm no world leader, but get that in writing. Or have it them say that to you. Why has no one said that? Anyway, moving along. Were those benefits removed, Australia would spend a whole lot more of its GDP on defence. Well, first of all, we have a GDP. Second of all, yikes. But he said Mr. Trump's behaviour towards our Prime Minister has come at the worst possible time for the US and Australia, which have been looking to advance certain aspects of their alliance, including increasing US military access to virtual sites, such as nations' ports and airships. Vital sites. Excuse me, wow. What have I got, a gas tank in my ears today? What is happening? So there you go. Yeah, military, we do lean on the US a lot militaristically, but I think we help them out with the man and the woman power, but they help us out with a lot of the other stuff as well, if that makes sense. If Australia was to fight a fight of their own, yeah, well, I don't want to be the one that brings that up. Should I bring that up? I won't bring that up. I just want to say, history always repeats itself for a reason. Are we still on side? Mr. Townsend said Australia and the US shared intelligence as well as a border interest in maintaining peace and security in the region. This was unlikely to change because of a spat which publicly aired between the two country leaders, because there'd be a lot more people involved. I added that last bit, but seriously, there would be a lot more people involved. Mr. Townsend also said he wouldn't believe moving towards China instead of advancing the alliance was the answer. Bigger than POTUS. According to Professor Greg Austin, an expert in China and cybersecurity. Wow, what a day at the office that would be. Okay, the Professor of Cybersecurity, Strategy and Diplomacy in Australia's Centre for Cybersecurity at the University of New South Wales tells news.com.au that the two nations would move on from this. According to Professor Austin, the alliance was mutually beneficial. However, he said it helped one country more than the other. Quote, the US likes and values Australia as an ally, he said. They don't really need us, but we really need them, because we kind of piggyback on them. I added that last bit, but yeah, it's kind of true. The US provided a high-value military, combat, and intelligence to Australia, he said, and all critical in maintaining peace in the region. Trump's power. Gotta get it moving here. Trump's power. Professor Austin said, while we may force stormy wars ahead of the reality of Mr. Trump's powers, we're unlikely to have serious effect on Australia or the world, or spark any conflict. I think how little Obama actually achieved is a measure of power of the president, he said. The president doesn't have absolute authority on things, considering domestic policy. The trouble in defense has more power than any other role. Would conflict break out? Asked how vital the US was to Australia, Professor Austin said American support was critical. Maintaining the balance in the Taiwan spirit is the biggest concern for the US, he says. Reaction grows. May insist the alliance would go on and all will be okay in the long run. Okay. What is ANZUS is the treaty that was signed from Australia, New Zealand, and the US in September of 1951. Came into force the following April. It was a cornerstone of foreign policy since. Under the treaty, signatures were required to come to one another's assistance. Ah, there you go. There you go. So, while New Zealand withdrew from the treaty in the 1980s and is no longer allied with the US, the treaty remains in place with the three nations. Now, so what you're telling me is that it would require an executive action or some sort of law being amended for that to kind of change, if that's what that kind of means. But I definitely do agree, in the minute that we have here, I definitely do agree that Australia definitely does need the US. And I think the US does need Australia as well. And here's why. The US definitely needs Australia for tourism reasons, and that's about it. I think the US and Australia, we have a lot of just tourism, let alone anything else, let alone foreign exchange students, and I've seen a few of those in my time here at, locally, here where I live, you know, the exchange programs as well to Australia, and if there was, say, an alliance between Australia and the US, you know, break off, the opportunities for those to take place would become less, if that makes sense, if the two countries were at war. And I talked about this last hour as I kick a can. That's fun to say, kick a can. I talked about this last hour where, you know, people... Where was I going with this? Oh, it has to come from the top down. So if, you know, for me, you know, having relations and working, you know, previously working for and working currently working with people in the US, that would, I don't know, that would be more difficult, in my opinion, if things started to become fractured between Australia and the US. That's just how I feel. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Well, we just might have the feel-good story of the century for you. I actually do think it is the feel-good story of the century. We'll tell you what it is. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure as always. Thanks for joining us. It's 11:21. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us and thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. Now, we may have the most heartwarming story of the century. I'm not even joking here. This might bring, get the tissues ready, because this might bring some tears. When Roseanne Sodia was laid up with an amputated leg in the wake of the Boston Marathon bombing, love would have been the last thing on her mind. But her mother, even the matchmaker, saw a perfect opportunity as handsome firefighter Mike Matriar hovered nearby. She was like, oh, did you see that firefighter? He's so cute. And I was like, Mom, I just got blown up. And wow. Wow. Wowzers. Okay. I didn't mean to take it in that direction. On the day of the bombing in April 2013, Sodia, 48, a long-distance runner, was a spectator near the marathon finish line when the pressure cooker bombs went off. Mattia, 37, rushed to her aid and comforted her during the ride to Massachusetts General Hospital in a police vehicle. I asked him if I was going to die, and he told me I was going to be okay, that I only had a fresh wound, unquote, she recalled. Mattia visited a couple of days later and made a great impression on her mother while Sodia was recovering in intensive care. The lovebirds went on their first date in June of 2013. A month later, they spent the 4th of July in Nantucket. Last month, he proposed on a lookout deck at the island's whaling museum with the help of their pooch. Sal. Their pooch? Okay. In March, they plan to release a book called Perfect Strangers, about four lives that intersected during the bombing. Oh, wow. I don't know why, but this just kind of, I don't know, I get all tingly inside. It's just, I mean, it's, I would have, you know, they could have met under different circumstances. I mean, a bombing is probably not the best place to meet someone, but it's just someone comes to their rescue and they're like, oh, hey, let's go out on a few dates. Why not? I think that's just impressive. Why? I'm not even gonna read what is happening up there, but I think it's just, oh, it's just, and the mum was involved too. Mum was pursuing it hard. Did you get that? I didn't know why that was the case, but that was just, they went out on a couple of dates and now they're getting married, and he say, you know, went to the aid of her, and that's one moment. And the book coming out called Perfect Strangers, that'd be amazing. The wedding would be amazing for all things too. So there you go. Oh, there's the feel good story of the century. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, moving from one feel good story to another. For some people, maybe not, depending on your perspective, you might be that inclined, you might not be inclined that way. It just depends. Hey, we all have different views of things. But Pauline Hanson would like to one day run Australia. Oh, please. She lays out her blueprint to the country and what she would do differently than what is being done now. Can we not talk about that? Can we just, like, repeat this clip over and over and over again about the Boston Marathon bombing survivor to marry firefighter who saved her? Can we just talk about that more, please? No? I'm getting word in my ear that we have to go to ad break. Damn. How much longer can I pad this out? I can't pad this out any longer. Okay, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for joining us. It's 11:30. Whether we're waking you up or putting you to sleep, this is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine as always. Thanks for joining us. Whether you're listening to us live or on your hard drive, it's great to be here. Now, Pauline Hanson, we all know who she is. She's the One Nation leader, outspoken, been around for 700 million years, has revealed key policy she would pursue as Prime Minister, including big changes to tax, family law, and immigration. There you go. You know, maybe I play this 31-second video and then we'd be done with the segment.
One Nation leader.
Oh, it's gonna play an ad. Why are they all playing ads today? I don't understand why. Hey, we all have to make. Hey, I don't know why they're playing ads. Says the person who just came back from Australia. Here we go.
Her plans for the country if she were made Prime Minister. News Corp reports Hanson would dump the GST and introduce a 2% tax rate for all Australians, including those on welfare. She also wants every couple to sign a prenuptial agreement to help end family court delays and decisions. Hanson says she would give voters the power to introduce and repeal laws, culling the number of politicians in power.
Okay, that would be okay. There's some conversation here. So the national blueprint from One Nation comes as the party gears up for a big tilt for the upcoming Queensland state election, where it plans to run in 36 seats, and it's the last evidence of the Conservatives Party's resurgence after it picked up 4 Senate seats in the 2016 federal election. Outlining her priorities for an Australian One Nation at the helm, Hanson told News Corp Australia that social, economic, and law reform would be at the top of the list. Okay, I don't know what that was. Something else. Something just popped up. According to News Corp, among the key changes, Hanson wants are for couples to enter compulsory prenuptial agreements to ease pressure on the family court. Okay, for people listening to the audio podcast, one of my eyebrows stayed stationary still and the other one rose about 7 feet in the air. She also would burn the... She would also ban the burqa in public and scrap the GST and, oh dear gosh, here we go. Yes, we're getting into it. Replacing it with a flat 2% tax. 2%. I want to remind everyone, for international listeners, the goods and sales tax here in this country is 10%. 10. Our sale, it's basically, our GST is it's a goods and services tax. It's basically a sales tax. 10%. She wants to make it down to 2%. So, the GST would be scrapped, sorry, and the 2% tax would be on people's income? Okay. That's just, okay, that doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. Hanson would reportedly also push to nationalise critical Australian assets owned by foreign corporations and set up a royal commission into Islam. Okay, reaching out to economically marginalised voters. Wow, that is the funniest sentence I have ever... Hang on. Pauline Hanson wants to reach out to economically marginalised voters. I just want that to... Anyone? Anyone believing me here? Okay, no? Okay, awesome. Hanson's vision is said to also increase funding a plan to get young people into apprenticeships while manufacturers would receive tax breaks to boost local jobs. Okay. Quote, the cost of living is out of hand for the average Australian. Our standard of living has dropped. I don't think Liberal or Labor, in parentheses politicians, understand, she told News Corp. Okay. quote, if major parties think the only way to get this country going is to bring in migrants, they are fools. Wow, okay, so many things here to get, just, wow. Okay, so here we go. Let's actually, let's do this. Let's run through her proposals one at a time. So, where does it start? So, social, economic, and law reform. Okay, they're not really anything specific there, so I can't really dig into anything there. Among the key changes for, okay, couples to enter into compulsory prenuptial agreements to ease pressure on the family court. Ooh, yeah, yikes. So, how does that even work? Sorry. Okay, so what you're telling me is, how would you even record that? Anyway, so you would establish the prenuptial agreements department, basically, the Department of Prenuptial Agreements, or the DOPNA. 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 The Department of Prenuptial Agreements. Dopna. There you go. You'd set up the Dopna to ease the cases of family court. You do realize some cases that go to the family court, not talking from personal experience here at all, hint hint, don't cases that go to the family law, some of them have to do with, like, custody battles as well? That's just my understanding of it, too. Aren't custody battles fought in family court? I just might be mistaken. I still don't know how that works. Okay, I just want the Department of Dopna. I just want that. And no, it's not to do with marijuana. I just want dope in department title. Okay, so banning the burqa in public? No. Scrapping the GST? Replacing it with a flat 2% tax, though. Okay, so I'm not a fan of the GST, but scrapping it without some sort of thing that would be reasonable, taxing people at 2% is a little low. When you're earning 10% from GST, is a little low. Plus 2% if you earn a ton of money is not a lot. It's small change to those people that do earn a lot. So they're not missing out on anything at all. Hanson would also push to nationalise critical Australian assets owned by foreign corporations. I could see that. I don't really... owned by foreign corporations, bringing things back to Australia. Okay, I'm okay with this. Setting up a royal commission into Islam. Setting up a royal commission into ISIS, maybe, but just to Islam, I'm gonna have to give that an. So, oh, here we go. No, we'll do the ding. We'll do the ding at the end. Ding and at the end. So, reaching out to that funny sentence. Funding a plan to get young people into apprenticeships. I could get behind that. And giving manufacturers tax breaks to boost local jobs. And I can get behind that too. So her plans basically are create Dopna to ease pressure on the family court. If it was going to be a hard yes or a hard no, I'm going to have to say on that one. Ban the burqa in public. Scrap the GST, replacing it with a 2% tax. Ding, but you would have to review the tax system. So it's a ding and an on that one. Nationalise critical Australian assets owned by foreign corporations. Ding, question mark. Set up a royal commission to Islam. Funding a plan to get young people into apprenticeships. Ding. While manufacturers receive tax breaks to boost local jobs. Ding, I can see that. But, really? There you go. Court-approved treatment. So, hang on. So, court-approved prenuptial agreements. So it'd have to go to court anyway. I don't know. I really don't know. It's a court. So before someone goes into a relationship or marriage, you must have a prenuptial agreement. It would be confidential and lodged with the courts. We've got to free up our court system. It's overloaded. Lots of judgments aren't being handed down for years. Well, yes. Here we go. This is funny. I quote, "People see me as I could be their sister, their mother, or their neighbor next door." What? Okay, so first of all, who sees you as their sister? Their mother? Maybe. In a weird sort of way. And no, Mr. Hansen, you are not the girl next door. I'm just saying. I'll leave that exactly where that is. They don't see me as a career politician. Wow, okay. Did Pauline Hansen seriously say the quote, and I quote, "They don't see me as a career politician"? Wow. I'm only talking so my emergency radio system doesn't kick in and play licensed music that I don't want it to. Seriously, I might want to do that just so I... Oh. Yeah. Seriously, I don't... Wow. Okay, the person that has been in and out of the Senate since 1990? Yeah, I don't see you as a career politician. They've seen me running a small business, rearing kids by myself. Okay, that I gotta give her. She does run a small business. They see this person. I've had knockdowns. Okay. I've been in prison. Wow, I didn't know that. I've come out of there, and guess what? They haven't beaten me. Well, really? Oh, hang on. I feel like... No, I'm not doing this justice. I want to do this justice. Can I get this up? Oh, I don't have it in this file anymore. Damn it, I needed to get the Pauline Hanson song. I needed the Pauline Hanson song up because...
Me now, reasons. It means that I don't like it. When you turn my voice about, I don't like it. When you vote One Nation out, my language has been murdered. My language has been murdered. My shopping trolley murdered. My groceries just gone. I don't like it.
Why didn't I open the segment with this, by the way? Okay, so... Yeah, I have no idea why I didn't start this segment off with this. So, okay, so here we go. Here we go, so... I'm getting distracted. What is my favourite line here? I have to find it. It's the Neil Diamond line. And it's my favourite thing in the world. Except I like Neil Diamond. Yeah! Here it is. I love... This is my favourite line.
Except I like Neil Diamond.
Oh. Yeah. I didn't do it justice then. I need to do it. I need to do it. I need to do it full justice.
I don't like anything except I like Neil Diamond. Yeah.
That is my favourite thing ever. Pauline Hanson running Australia. Boy, golly. I don't change my tune, whatever way the polls are going. If you look at what I said 20 years ago, it's exactly what I'm saying today. I'm the type of person who can make a decision. The past makes you more aware of what not to do in the future. Wow. Okay, if she is... Wow, she is running for Prime Minister next time around. I can see it. I can see that she is running for Prime Minister next time around. Dear God, it is a scary place. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Oh, it's terrifying. I don't like it when rail lines are white. We're bumping in with that. We're not. I want to bump in with that, but I can't. Because reasons. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, well, a contradiction for y'all before we get out of here tonight. The headline is sport making you fat? More on that after the break. More on that is sport making you fat? Thanks for joining us here at the Generic Live Show. It's 11:51. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Dale Campbell here with you. Thanks for making us a part of your weekly routine. It's a pleasure as always. And as we wind down the Generic Live Show, wow, it's been a hectic show. I want to put that out there. We've had some fun. We've had our laughs. We've had our cries. And now let's get into our final story of this week. Question: is sport making you fat? Okay. Apart from the clickbaity headline aside, we're talking about spectating here. Spectating at the live tennis or at a cricket match, or attending weekend games. Nothing screams more summer in Australia than a cold drink and probably an ice cream, or Tim Tams, or pies. I reckon meat pies are more Australian than an ice cream. Unless you're talking about gay times, in which I don't think I have... I don't have that clip handy. More like a party than an ice cream. Okay. So we got some tips for you before we head on out of here for a Sunday to how to stay healthy at the stadium. Although it's not easy to make healthy choices at sporting events, it's very much possible. Here's some tips to minimize caloric intake without taking away any of the fun. Eat at home. Eat a filling and nutritious meal prior to the event. Not only this will save you money, but you won't be drawn to splurge on high-fat caloric options at the ground. Stay hydrated. There's no denying that water is the best thirst quencher, and many stadiums offer water fountains generally located at the entrance of all public bathrooms, so bring your own water bottle and refill regularly. If you choose to have an alcoholic beverage, stick to low sugar options such as beer or wine instead of pre-mixed concoctions made with soft drink. Remember to alternate between with water to ensure you stay hydrated throughout the event. Pack snacks. Some stadiums might not let you bring food, but if you can, check if you can check with the stadium and see if you can. I'm not reading what they wrote here, but because I don't, the generic live show doesn't condone what they're advertising. Scope out the possibilities. Don't scrum to the first hot dog stand you see. Walk around the arena to see what options are available and pick the healthiest options, such as sandwiches or corn cobs or fruit salad or just popcorn. If all else fails, split it. Instead of devouring an entire hamburger or drinking a jumbo-sized soft drink, order one to share so you can sample the food for a fraction of the calories. And finally, you can get up and move around between sets and, you know, taking trips to the bathroom and all the rest of it. A little bit of background, though, to the tips. New research exploring the eating habits of Australians attending sporting events and found that 75% of spectators eat food they consider unhealthy, as there is little to no wholesome options available to them. Yeah, I reckon sporting event there is nothing like a good old sporting event to go to. The last sporting event, I don't think of the last sporting event I went to, actually, now that I think about that out loud. Apart from local cricket. Apart from that, I don't think of the last major sporting event I went to. I don't have time to think. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. Okay, so housekeeping time, though, before we get on out of here. Want to put this out here. We are off. We are off for the next 2 weeks, the next two Sundays. We are off on vacation. We are taking 2 weeks off, you know, with going through the holidays and doing the best of 2016. We haven't really had a break yet to kind of settle down. And while things are, well, this show was jam-packed with news, things are kind of starting to settle down a little bit. So we'll be off for the next 2 weeks. So the 12th and the 19th of February, we won't be here on the Generic Live Show. But we'll be back on the 26th of February with a very special edition of the show. That's all I'm saying right now. Because I want to wait and have that as a surprise. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show, though, for a Sunday. Dale Campbell, I've been your host and producer, sloppily at best, but hey, you win some, you lose some. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's midnight.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.